This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming to the press conference with Frank Spotnitz and Chris Carter and Larry, if he wants to participate. We have microphones on either side, so just raise your hand and we'll pass one along. So, please.
Hi, my name's Sheila. I just had a question about the length of time that it took for this film to come out, why there was such a long period of time between the first film and this one.
Fox came to us a year after the X-Files and TV series ended and said, if you want to make another movie, let's go. And we went and we worked out a story, and that story was a story they liked. Negotiations began, and then it all broke down over, I would call it TV contractual problems, which took unexpectedly years to resolve. And it's the nature of the business. By the time they came back to us again, when it was finally resolved, they called again. They said, if you want to do that movie, we still want to do it, but you've got to do it now, because it's now or never. There's a writer's strike looming, and if you don't do it now, it might be two years before you get another opportunity, or it's in the theaters, and we think that's too long. You will have asked the audience to wait too long, and we agreed. So that's why we did it 5 years out. It's now 6 years since the series was off the air.
Can you talk?
Why this particular story? It feels very pre 9/11. Very sincere to the episode structure, but next to the other movie, which was very epic, the other movie was very epic. At the time, there was a nod to the Oklahoma bombing in the beginning, and a lot has happened in 6 years, and I was wondering why the fascination with the Catholicism and the, everything else in it.
I'll let Frank answer this too, but
okay.
If you look at the X-Files, generally, we did 202 episodes. About 80% of them are not mythology episodes, which tend to be the epic episodes. They deal with the big conspiracy, they deal with Mulder's sister, the search for Mulder's sister. They deal with what I would call the saga in the X-Files. When we finished the first movie, we said, the next movie we're going to do is going to be a story that stands alone, what some people call a monster of the week story. We wanted to do a story that didn't require you to have any knowledge of that ongoing story arc. So that's simply why we chose to do a story like this. But I think you're saying it's pre-9/11. I don't think of it as that. Certainly not with the nod in the FBI to what I call the current administration.
I'd say also for us, we actually came up with the X-File in this in 2003. And then we walked away for 4 years and came back, and we'd actually lost our notes. So we had to start over. And, of course, we remembered a lot of it.
He lost them.
Someone lost them. And in the process of starting over, we found ourselves so interested in where Mulder and Scully were in their lives and the nature of their relationship. And we realized that to be true to the characters, that relationship could not have stood still. It had to have changed. And we saw it much more emotionally than we did immediately after the show ended. And I think if you all seen the movie, you realize it's unexpectedly, I think, an emotional film. And so that was just the story that came out of us. That was the story we really wanted to tell. And the more you think about this movie, in fact, the more parallels you'll see between what the bad guys are doing and what Mulder and Scully are doing and what Scully is doing with the boy. There's a lot of resonances that may not be obvious on a first viewing. So it just felt emotionally right. It did occur to me many times that because we did 202 episodes and because there are so many devoted fans, there are probably at least as many ideas about what this movie could and should be. And there's really nothing we can do about that. We're sort of victims of our own success in that way. But for us, it was never a question. It was just what was in our hearts, and that's always served us well in the past.
Can you talk about returning to Canada to shoot and also the challenges of those weather conditions with the snow?
I was just telling Bob Strauss that my feet are still numb from the experience. Returning to Canada was something we had all talked about doing. It was Vancouver was it's one of the stars of the show. Really, it helped put us on the map, and I think vice versa. We had many working up there for 5 years. We had friends. The crew had become our many of the crew had become our friends. It was returning home again. It was a reunion of sorts, even though we did a number of TV shows up there. So sometimes we didn't get X-Files crew. We got Millennium crew. Mark Freeborn, the production designer, for example, was did every episode of Millennium. So that was great. And filming in the snow is a challenge, but like as Vancouver can do and does, it's free production value. It's hard. It's 10 times harder than making a movie outside the snow. But what you get, I think, is beauty that that you pay for personally, but you put a lot on the screen without having to pay for it otherwise.
I just kept wondering who wrote this in the snow. Who was dumb enough to think that 2 minutes in the snow? It was extremely uncomfortable, and I'm from Arizona, so I have no tolerance for the cold. I was bundled up like the Michelin Man the entire time we were there. But it was important to us to go back to Vancouver. It felt like going home to us because it was the city that really built our success, and we'd had to leave after 5 years. So I think, as Chris said, all of us wanted to go back there. We wrote the script to work in and around Vancouver. And aside from the people who were phenomenal and the crew, there was just a quality about Vancouver and the light in Vancouver, the feel of the city that adds atmosphere to the film. And I think you see that in the movie. The snow, it's forbidding, you know. It's a hostile environment without even anything happening, just being in that environment. It's not hospitable to human life, and things can be hidden in it.
There's something, I'll give you a brief sort of like idea of what it's like to make something in the snow. One of the things you do if you've been on a movie set is you move your junk from one place to another. You know, it's like you're filming in this direction, and you, okay, we're going to film from this direction, let's move our junk over here, including the cameras. And so you move all your stuff over there. Well, it doesn't, you know, you roll it on wheels or you drag it along. In the snow, it just doesn't work that way. In the snow, you've got to get snowmobiles and sleds, and it's loud and it's smelly and it's time consuming. Communication, the way you direct actors in the snow, because you don't want to trample the beautiful snow between you and them, is you yell the direction at them. You know, it's more of that. You know, less, more. Directing becomes, I would call it, by semaphore. It is. It's just a different experience, and nothing prepares you for it until you do it.
The series, you know, has always had really great, you know, always cast really great character actors. And even in the first film, Martin Landau, I was just curious, you know, if you had Billy Connolly, since you had written this earlier, right? You had Billy Connolly in mind. What was it? How did you come about casting him?
Yes, we wrote it. I had Billy Connolly in mind, and I told him I had Billy Connolly in mind. We didn't know if we'd get Billy Connolly. It just so happened that he came. I got to meet him by I almost didn't get to meet him because of a problem with transportation. But planes, trains, and automobiles, I got to actually be sitting in front of him, telling him what a big fan I was of his, and that I thought he could do anything. And I can elaborate on this story. But he was honored, I think, and flattered, and he took the script, which I wasn't giving out to people, and I gave it to him without all the forms that we usually make people sign. He took it with him to New York, read it on the plane, and wrote me the nicest note, which I will have framed on my wall. When do we start? And it was that simple.
With so much accumulated mythology and characters and little elements that the fans love and are in some ways dying for, how did you decide what to put into this movie, what not to try to shoehorn in, you know, characters that people want to see, but is it appropriate? Can you talk about that creative decision?
Well, we wanted to make this as pure a movie as we could about Mulder and Scully, who, you know, are the essence of the X-Files. And I spoke earlier about how struck we were by their relationship and their emotional story in returning to the show after such a long absence. And so, you know, the more characters you bring in from the past, the more explaining you have to do, and the more it gets wrapped up in the mythology of the show. And so in this movie, we wanted to keep it as simple as we possibly could. And there are many more characters, believe me, that we talked about that we would have loved to have brought back in this movie. But ultimately, as you know, there was only room for one. And it's not a sign of any lack of affection or enthusiasm for the others.
It's interesting to note that the word believe has the word lie in the middle of it. And at the end of the movie, for myself, did you do this on purpose? I kept thinking, okay, believe has lie in the middle of it. And you never did establish whether the priest was lying or whether he was actually seeing the visions. And I think it's a heck of an effect, because you go home battling with those two ifs, the rest of the night. Now, was that on purpose? Because if it was, you sure hit the nail on the head.
Very much so.
Actually, there was we always have these phrases, these catchphrases that became associated with the X-Files: trust no one, deny everything. Believe the lie was one of them. In this case, there are two things. You're right, we never do establish whether he was a real psychic or he was doing this to exonerate himself, if you will. So you have to take that on faith. And there's a moment at the end of the movie, as Scully is looking down at the boy, where we wanted you to take that on faith as well. So certainly we thought about these things.
Let me just say, what a pleasure it is. I don't know whether you love the movie or not. I hope you did. But what a pleasure it is to actually talk about the movie, because we spent the last 8 months avoiding talking about the movie. And it's nice to finally get to talk about it, because one of the interesting things about writing this movie, coming up with the story, was that Chris is a person of faith. I don't think he's necessarily a believer in any church, but a person of faith. And I'm not. I'm a doubter. I'm a skeptic. And this movie is all about faith. And I'm very interested in faith and the question of faith. But when it came time to resolving this movie and coming up with an ending, we were at an impasse. And we actually went to script not quite knowing how to resolve our personal differences. And the ending that we came up with, which I think is really the only ending, even if you are a believer, is that you must find God through faith. It's not going to be proven to you. I mean, that's what I believe as a non-believing spiritual person, that if there is a God, it's going to require your faith to find him. And that's what was so beautiful about the movie to me, and beautiful about the character Father Joe, this sort of monstrous person who, it's up to your own, you know, your own thoughts about the movie, whether he found redemption or not, and about Scully's journey, ultimately.
How much were Jillian and David included in their backstory for the past 6 years leading up to this film? And were you surprised that both admit that they found it hard to get back into the characters after all of this time? They thought it would be easy, but it wasn't.
To answer the first part of the question, we told them what we were going to do, and they agreed that that's the right thing to do after 16 years of this relationship. It felt like it was going to be, it would have been, I think, dishonest not to, if they're going to be together, to show them together. So we told them about that, and they knew it was coming when they read the script. You can imagine it was hard 5 years later when we started making the movie, to 5.5 years. They'd both been playing so many other characters. You see Jillian in Bleak House, for example. I think about how different that character was. And you see David in Californication, how different that character is. They had not been Mulder and Scully for a while. So putting those clothes back on and feeling the fit of the shoes and the uniform, if you will, I think naturally was going to be take an effort. And it was not dissimilar for Frank and myself in writing this script. That first scene where Mulder and Scully, where Scully comes to Mulder in his office there, that was the hardest scene in the movie, I think, because what do you say after 6 years? How do you have these characters have a conversation that is true to the story, but is also the first time we've seen them in a room together after such an absence?
I wanted to know what can fans look forward to on the DVD Blu-ray, and can you talk a little bit about deleted scenes that may or may not be on the disc?
We are, I have to say I had no idea what Blu-ray could do, and I just thought it was like a higher definition picture, and it's actually much more than that. And so we are trying to think of every possible way to exploit the Blu-ray medium, and actually those discussions are still continuing. I mean, we've been working on the Blu-ray and the DVD release for months already, but it's going to be packed with a lot of bonus features. I'm sure they want to announce specifically what they are, but there'll be a gag reel, there'll be making of, you know, as there always are. There'll be multiple commentaries, audio and video, that you can access in a unique way because it's Blu-ray. We're going to take advantage of the online feature in a way we haven't determined yet. There are deleted scenes. There's a scene, well, there's an extended version of the movie, and then there's deleted scenes. And I'm going to get it wrong if I try and tell you which scenes are going into which. But there'll be a lot of extras.
Can I ask how much longer the extended version is?
It's not significantly longer. It's only a few minutes longer, but it's more explicit. And it's a little more emotional, believe it or not.
I'm just wondering, did you do any test audience with this, with the movie at all? And was there any kind of reaction from the diehard fans about maybe not resolving some of the things that the questions that are still left unresolved in this movie, and what do you think that might open it up for yet another feature?
We only showed it to family and friends, and we did not do any market testing. Fox is adamant, as were we, about keeping the movie a secret. Also, I think you can really drive yourself crazy by showing it to a select group of diehard fans and then telling you, you know, if you show it to 30, you're going to get 30 different impressions of what you didn't do or what you did do or what you should have done more of. So we really went with our gut. But it's the way we always have worked on the show. Are there questions unanswered? There are so many questions you couldn't answer them all. It probably would have been a different kind of movie if you did try to answer them all. Certainly, if we're successful here, I'm sure Fox will wanted to talk to us about another movie, but we did this movie as if it might be the last time we see Mulder and Scully, because we just don't know.
One more question, please. Your show really blazed the trail for a lot of what's on TV today with the shows that have these long arcs and these central mysteries. At the same time, the show, I think, also gets looked at in a way, it's like, with the new shows that are doing these same long arcs and these central mysteries, it's sort of like, let's make sure that when we get to the end, we're tight. And there's this sort of impression the X-Files towards the end is playing it by ear a little bit. Do you think that's fair, looking back 6 years later? Do you sort of get annoyed and say, no, I think we really did the final seasons really well? So I'm just sort of curious what your take on that is.
Yeah, I think we're both proud of the work we did and that we went 9 seasons. And let me tell you, after 5 years of a show, it gets hard. Any show gets hard, but I have to say that's where the going gets tough and the tough get going. It actually, some of the best storytelling came in the last 4 years of the show, I would say, because we hit our stride. We had to deal with some changes when David left the show. We had to deal with some changes. We added characters. We loved those characters. We'd like to bring those characters back. So I think that while you can say, you know, we know we're going to stop now, I think I'm glad we went 9 years. I think that there is, one of my favorite writers is Robert Graves, and he talks about there's an energy that creates something, which is that impulse of lightning, that creative spark. Everyone loves that part of it. And they love the thing that results, which is more creativity. Then there's something he said called maintenance energy, and that's where you have to actually then take something and maintain it, and feed it, and care for it, and nurture it, and freshen it. And that energy is one of the toughest things to find. And if you can find it, and if you can work through it, I think that's where the real hidden treasures lie.
I think I would just add, I mean, for me, the last 2 years of the show were among the most fun and satisfying years of the show. Obviously, we didn't anticipate, we couldn't have planned for the show going 9 years, for David reducing his presence on the show. We, you know, obviously, Dog and Reyes were not part of the original design. That's sort of, you know, not even an attempt at a secret. But it was enormously challenging and satisfying to write for those actors. I understand why a number of fans just couldn't get emotionally invested without Mulder there. That makes total sense. The show was built around Mulder. I also think, and I've come to see more and more in time, there's been a little bit of conventional wisdom about the last 2 years that really isn't corresponding to reality, because the show's ratings actually grew when Robert Patrick came in. I think the mood of the country...
It was hell.
I'll let it stand there.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.